I'm going to introduce our first speaker is Sharon Schindler-Rising, and she and Laura are sharing this discussion. And Sharon is the CEO and president of the of CHI, which is the, one more time, the Centering Health Institute. Centering Healthcare Institute, which is in Washington. And she has been developing the centering model for the since 1993 and 94. And so I don't interrupt them. I'll introduce Laura is a family physician in Berkeley and is on the faculty for the Centering Healthcare Institute. And she is also leading groups. So with that, I'm going to let these ladies talk, and I'll get out of your hair.
Great. Thank you, Barbara. It's really good to be with you today and to have an opportunity to talk about centering healthcare. I'm wondering how many of you are familiar with centering or centering pregnancy in particular? That's what I thought. So that's great. We have a model here that has really the three components of assessment and education and support. And I just wanted to share with you, although we're not talking about centering pregnancy, we have gotten data in. We have set up a whole data system. Our main operations office is in Boston. Some of you said, well, when did you move from Connecticut to Washington, D.C.? And I said, well, that was over a year ago, and we have an office in D.C. now, and then our larger operations office, which is in Boston. And as part of that, we've been able to set up our data system, which is called Centering Counts. So we are looking at our first set of data, and we have 28 sites. And if you were just at the previous session where we spent a lot of time talking about preterm birth, I just wanted to share this with you because it's really exciting. Our first 28 approved sites that we've looked at data for, which we think represents probably about 14,000 women, and there's a preterm birth rate of 6.5. With all of this data. And so we're just really excited that preterm birth is continuing to really be low in sites that are doing centering. Well, so why group care? I mean, why does this work? And many of you said you are familiar with centering, so throw out a few things. Why does group care work? Why do care this way? So peer support is really one of the good things. We think community building, very important. What else? Can tell it's 4:30 in the afternoon. Huh? What else?
Accountability.
Yeah.
I think it normalizes things.
So it normalizes. You know, you sit in a group and talk, and I didn't know anyone else had this issue. I didn't know anyone else had this problem. It normalizes problems. And we also often say that, we often say that it's fun. And so we're not used to thinking of going to work and working for a whole day in a busy clinic as being fun. Or that our patients would say when they come for a visit, this was just so much fun. I'm so glad I'm doing care this way. But it's really a fun way to get care. So if we were going to contrast really traditional and group care, we're pretty familiar with what traditional care is. It's really repetitive, and one of the main reasons that I developed the model was that I just felt that I was repeating myself all day. And those of you who are clinicians would probably nod and say, yes, I know what that feels like, because one woman's question is another woman's question. And so there's a lot of repetitive over and over, and then finally not really knowing what has been, what a woman has understood or not. And, you know, we've had some other sessions today. There was another one in which we were looking, where someone was talking about patient-consumer, the patient-provider interaction and what was working or not. And listening skills were important, but getting information wasn't one of the things that was really making a difference. And I think one of the things we find is that simply giving information really doesn't always resonate with the woman. So traditional care is really provider-centered. Whereas group is a whole different feeling. The room just feels really different. It's group learning. It's lots of social contact. It's fun. There's food. There's music. You know how that feel is. And so very, very different than the feel of traditional care. So centering parenting is a dyad model of care. It was designed ideally to follow centering pregnancy so that there would be a seamless transition. So if you think about centering pregnancy being 10 sessions that run throughout pregnancy, and those of you who are involved in it may think about the end of pregnancy when there's some fallout, women are having their babies, and then what happens? And so here they just simply continue to come back with their babies, and now you have live babies, hopefully breastfeeding moms, with women who are still waiting to deliver and wondering if they're going to make it through that momentous time, and seeing that there are women who actually have done it and they look fairly healthy, and they're breastfeeding their babies. So this is dyad care. It's well woman care, well baby care for the first postpartum year and beyond, and our intent is to get the second year put together relatively soon. 9 sessions that run throughout that first year. Most of them build as well baby visits. So those of you who know well baby care really know that. With well baby care, there are at least 7 reimbursable visits in the first year. And with women's health, well, we don't have a women's health system, do we, in this country? And the postpartum year is one of the most interesting times in a woman's life, and we really have no good mechanism for regular contact with women, nor do we have a good payment system for it. But we can bill for certain activities. We can bill for depression screening, for example, perhaps for weight management, for contraceptive counseling initiation, and so on. So there are some billable items, because one of the things that is important to centering is that it is reimbursed through the traditional reimbursement system. So the focus within this dyad care for both the mother and the baby is on health of both of them, on development of both, and on safety. So the design looks like centering pregnancy for those of you who are very familiar with it. There's check-in during the first 30 to 40 minutes of time, and so moms come and they continue checking themselves, and they also collect data on their babies. And then there's a formal circle-up time with a facilitated discussion with self-assessment sheets that help to spring that, and then an informal time for closing, and of course, refreshments and music to help with all of that. It is sort of interesting to me. I looked at some recent data that has come in from our centering pregnancy groups, and it's kind of evaluations of women for what they really like about it. And one of the things that they really like about it is food. So food being really important. There are essential elements to centering that define the model, and I'm not going to go through all of these. Many of you are familiar with them, but I will focus on just a few of them. But just to run through them, that everything happens within the group space. So it brings all of the services together for the mother and the baby within the group space. So she's not making a lot of different appointments, having to make different stops. I'm not showing up, perhaps, for appointments because her life is hectic, and every one of those appointments usually involves waiting. And so women tend to have a lot of difficulty in making multiple appointments. So everything comes here. A facilitative leadership style is used, and this is a really difficult thing for facilitators, because at the heart of that is trying very hard not to answer questions and to really listen to the group wisdom. So what happens for the facilitator, certainly what happened for me, is that I continued to get wiser as I listened to women and understood more clearly cultural beliefs and values, which, of course, are what drive our behavior. So there is a plan for each session. The leaders are constant. We sit in an open circle. And as you think about an open circle, Instead of exam rooms, you think about what kind of space is really needed, and it needs to be appropriate space. And when you start adding babies to the mix, it needs to be even safer, physically safer, than you might think even for centering pregnancy, because it isn't long before babies don't sit nicely in the middle of the circle. And so I observed a centering parenting group not that long ago and was very, very distressed because the room was really not safe and it wasn't clean enough. We have a model then that looks very similar to centering pregnancy. The WA baby assessment includes all of the regular checks that you would have for a WA baby visit with the parents actively involved in conducting that assessment. So they're weighing their babies, weighing and measuring, doing head circumferences, and the mom herself is setting goals, is doing, there's depression screening that's conducted for the mom, but setting weight goals being a very important piece of it, having a contraceptive plan, and support for breastfeeding, and also there's an opportunity for screening for family violence. As one provider said to me, when the women came back for the centering parenting visit, they noticed at the first visit that there were two women in the group that didn't have a plan for contraception, and they fixed that. So the women get to know each other really well, and they help each other make decisions. So a facilitative leadership style is used. We talked about that just a bit, but with a lot of listening rather than didactic. Each session has an overall plan, so again, there's an opportunity for discussion of the important topics, but centering is process-driven, so topics are discussed primarily as they are meaningful to the women and as they bring them up. And socializing being an important part of it, as well as an ongoing evaluation of outcomes. So some of the benchmarks and outcomes that might be tracked include the ones up here. And the patient experience, of course, breastfeeding rates, depression, screening, and all. So Laura is going to talk with us a bit about her experience in providing care in the centering parenting model at West Berkeley Family Practice.
Thanks, Sharon. So a couple words about the clinic where I do centering parenting. It's a federally qualified health center in Berkeley, right over the bridge. It's very culturally diverse. It's the most culturally diverse clinic I've ever worked in. And it's about a third monolingual Spanish-speaking, and it's also a very low-income patient population. And since we started doing centering parenting, we've noticed that we get very good feedback from both patients and providers, and that motivated us to want to do a more in-depth evaluation to find out if the positive feelings towards centering parenting translated into actual improved outcomes. So our groups start at 2 weeks, the two-week well-child visit, and we continue them through the 15-month well-child visit. As Sharon was saying, ideally the model is a continuation of centering pregnancy, and in our setting, 80% of the women in parenting got their prenatal care in centering pregnancy groups, so meaning that they get 2 full years together. And we do groups both in Spanish and in English. When we did our evaluation, we tried to include as many dyads, because it's a mom-baby dyad model, as many dyads as we could. And when we went through our inclusion criteria, we got about 92 dyads that met our criteria for the centering parenting group. And those were women who had received care between 2005 and 2009. And in our comparison group, we came up with 76 dyads who also met our inclusion criteria, which were a little looser. It really required just that the baby was cared for through at least 12 months of age, and we didn't set a lot of criteria for the moms, partly because of what Sharon was mentioning, which is that we don't do a great job caring for moms in the first postpartum year. So that's one of my themes for today. So the study was a retrospective study, and it's an evaluation. It's not a rigorous scientific study, and we looked at chart data. And our samples were quite comparable. in all areas except for race and ethnicity. The differences in race and ethnicity that we found, which point to issues we're not exactly sure of, but maybe recruitment or maybe cultural issues, are that we had a more Caucasian and a more Latina sample in centering parenting. And in traditional care, our kind of traditional postpartum care with the midwives and the family doctors, we had a higher percentage of African Americans and Asians in that group. When we looked at our data, we initially looked at postpartum depression, and we were pretty surprised to find that in terms of depression history, our samples were very comparable. But in terms of women being actually screened at all in the first postpartum year, we screened about 95% of the women in centering, and we screened only 25% of the women in traditional care. And we really thought we were doing a good job. We used the Edinburgh screening. It's part of our protocol. But these women in our traditional care hadn't been screened. Most of them hadn't been screened at all in the first postpartum year. And in centering, we were doing a much better job. As a result of the increased screening, we, of course, diagnosed more postpartum depression, and we found quite a high rate of postpartum depression in our population. And we therefore think we're doing a better job with both screening and diagnosis and then treatment of postpartum depression in centering than in our traditional care. Again, the theme came up when we looked at obesity, of the fact that we aren't getting women into care in traditional care. And and in terms of our obesity data, this may be a little confusing, but I'll just highlight that the in centering, which is the top line, it looks like there's not really an increase over the postpartum year in obesity, defined as BMI more than 30. So the obesity rate stayed stable statistically over the first year. And in comparison, initially it looked like, wow, we had a huge increase in obesity. But then when we looked more at the data, we may have had a big increase in obesity, but almost more disturbing than that is that we lost track of about 30% of our women who were their babies were still getting care with us, but we didn't have a weight or a BMI for them at 1 year. And so we didn't even let alone addressing obesity, we didn't even know whether they were obese at the end of a postpartum year. So centering gave us, because their care was yoked to the baby's care, it gave us a real opportunity to document and then address obesity. And finally, in breastfeeding, there were no differences in the centering, parenting, and traditional care group. But it was clinically important to us that in the centering group, we had over 50% of our moms still breastfeeding at 1 year. The numbers were too small to show a statistical difference. And I wanted to highlight a couple of the quotations we got from patients in our evaluations. One was, "I've learned so much from the group. The idea of getting together and talking for an hour is a wonderful resource for parents." Another said, "I really like the support of other moms and also getting to know the doctor." And then in terms of provider perspective on centering parenting, I just want to read you the first quotation because that's really what resonates with me the most. "Centering builds strong social bonds. Given who we serve, that is as valuable as anything we do." So what I've seen doing centering parenting is that moms come together, many of them are socially isolated, and over the course of the year, they develop community. And to me, that's one of the most valuable things that we can do in a community health center. So I put up this slide to remind me to think about the future. The future, I think, indicated by our small evaluation, is that we'd like to know if getting women into care in the postpartum year and helping them build community results in better outcomes. And that's our next step. Thank you.
Thank you.